The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory
to you, O Lord. The sisters of Lazarus sent word to Jesus, saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness will not end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." He became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd here, I have said this so that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
be to the Gospel of the name, our sins be wiped away.
A dear old lady knew that she was about to die and hence asked her pastor to give her the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. After being anointed, she said, "Soon I'll be walking in the bosom of Moses." "No, dear," corrected the pastor. "The Bible says the bosom of Abraham." She replied, "Father, at my age, you don't care too much whose bosom it is." Lord, the one you love is ill. These words are not just about Lazarus, sisters and brothers, but they are about you and I as well. That the Lord came because we were ill. Humanity is ill. Humanity is dying or has died and is in need of God's help, deliverance. You know, each of the signs done in the Gospel of John can, according to some commentators, correspond to each of the 7 sacraments. Last week we had the healing of the man born blind, and corresponds to the sacrament of baptism. Jesus instructs the man after he puts clay, wet clay on his eyes, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So the man goes and washes, and then he is sent out. That corresponds to the sacrament of baptism. And Lazarus being raised from the dead is very close to the sacrament of baptism. Both the blind man and Lazarus are brought up out of a state of uncreation or death and brought into new life. from darkness into light. So the raising of Lazarus then can be said to correspond to the sacrament of confirmation. And you know the sacraments are performed by Christ. It is Christ who hears our confession and absolves us of our sin. It is Christ who consecrates the bread and wine into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. It is Christ who anoints you at the sacrament of the sick, and so forth. And you and I, as the body of Christ, as church, as followers of Christ, are not just spectators, but we are participants in God's plan of salvation. The sacraments help bring us into the story, like some of those, you know, stories you read on television, you know, whatever, I can't, the never-ending story, whatever, the kid is brought right into the story. Well, we are brought right into the story, so that we're not just spectators listening to some old stories. We are participants in God's plan of salvation. When Ezekiel proclaims, "Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and have you rise from them," he isn't trying to encourage the people who are now exiled and in Babylon. Think of how discouraged they must have felt. And they were thinking, you know, God has abandoned us. And Ezekiel says, "No, even if I have to drag you out of your graves, I am going to fulfill my covenant promises to you." And that's what he's saying to us today as well. That when we come to Mass, and being in Mass, we say, "Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy." That mercy that we're asking for comes out of God's covenant love for us, the covenant he made with us, his love and mercy. And so it is that we can ask him for his mercy. When Ezekiel says these words, though, he probably had no idea that God was going to fulfill them so literally in Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's covenant with us. And he is telling his disciples, and he's telling us as well, "I am Yahweh. I am the God of Israel." And what does he do? He proves it by opening the grave of Lazarus and calling Lazarus out with a loud voice. A loud voice as in the last day in Revelations, where the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. Christ knows who he is, that he is both Son of God and Son of Man. And that is precisely why he is crucified, folks, because he claims to be God. When he calls himself the Son of Man, he's referring to the prophecy in Daniel 7, where it says, "And you shall see the Son of Man, one like a Son of Man, coming on the clouds of heaven." He's calling himself God, sisters and brothers. And he tells Martha, very much, and it's much more than just God hearing his prayer to raise Lazarus from the dead. Jesus says, "No, girl, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life." In the Constitution on Divine Revelation from Vatican II, the Church says, "The deepest truth about God and the salvation of man shines out for our sake in Christ, who is both the mediator and the fullness of all revelation. We are convinced that faith in Christ is not different than faith in God in any way." So Jesus is our rock foundation as the resurrection and the life. He is the reason for our Christian hope in our own resurrection, body and soul. We're not going to be ghosts or spirits in heaven, sisters and brothers. Body and soul. And so like the exiles in Babylon, so we too are exiles. In fact, the word perish comes from a word meaning exiles. We know that in this life, none of us receives the fullness of all the good that God has promised to us in Christ. Hence, the resurrection. There's more to come. In his sign of raising Lazarus from the dead, he is pointing forward to his own resurrection, but also to our resurrection, body and soul, sisters and brothers. The Church tells us, you know, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. The Catechism says he is the principle and source of our future resurrection. In fact, the glorified body of Christ gives us an idea of what we will be like in heaven. So, so Jesus says to Mary, as he says to each of us, "Do you believe this? Do you believe this, sisters and brothers?" You know, at the wedding feast of Cana, when Jesus turns the water into wine, John writes, The disciples began to believe in him. And with this sixth sign in today's gospel, he says to his disciples that Lazarus has died, and then he says, I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Jesus is writing his gospel that we may come to know and believe in Christ, in who he is, as Son of Man and Son of God. But faith, folks, is not some static gift. It's a living quality. It's meant to grow and make progress in our faith and trust. And we help it, and we nourish it on the Word of God and on the Eucharist. And we exercise it by our prayer and also by our works of mercy. By witnessing to Christ, witnessing Christ to others of his incredible love for all people. So as we journey through Lent, we are hopefully growing in our faith and trust so that we can become witnesses to Christ's love for all people. And Lazarus is now a witness. And they want to kill Lazarus too because he's witnessing to the power of Christ who raised him from the dead. Confirmation has been called the sacrament of martyrdom. You know, when I was confirmed at 12, you know, some of you remember this probably, you know, the bishop slapped us on the cheek, right? To remind us, now you're a soldier of Christ. Now you're meant to witness to Christ, even to the point of laying down your lives. Even to the point of laying down your lives for Christ. In the context of Lent, the Church helps us to reflect more deeply on our responsibility to respond to God's call to live lives of faith and love. And the Psalm and Paul's letter to the Romans witnesses both to the mercy of God and the damage, the death, that is sin. The Psalm says, out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. What depths? The depths of our compunction. That hopefully, you know, during Lent we come to a point where we realize, I can't do it. It's impossible to live those ethical demands that we hear about in the gospel. They're way, way up here. And realize, I can't do it. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, I don't do the good I intend, but the evil I do not intend. Who can save me from this body of death? Thanks be to God for Christ Jesus our Lord. And the second part of Lent, we focus on who Christ is, folks. Hopefully we come to the point where we realize how much we need God's salvation in our lives. His grace, his saving grace. And we hopefully maybe bring that to confession. You know, they've been advertising on television, you know, Part C on Medicare, but you got to call if you want the extra benefits, right? Well, you know, God forgives your sin, but if you want the extra benefits, you got to call, folks. You got to make the call. Don't be afraid to make that call. Call him. He loves you. He wants, you know, out of the depths, whether it be physical death even, or spiritual death through sin, the Holy Spirit invites us to call upon God because he is a God of mercy, a God of love and compassion. But we need to bring our sins before him, not to make excuses for them, not to deny them, oh, that's the way I am, I'll never change, not to say it's impossible, but just to say, Lord, I can't do it. Heal me. You know, strengthen my weak limbs and my lame bones so that I can walk in your spirit. St. Paul exhorts us too, you know. Sin is spiritual death. If we are living according to the flesh, we are already dead. We have choices to make every day, folks. And we can live according to our own selfish desires, our own sinful appetites and whims. Or we can choose to make the hard choice every day. As Paul says, I'm not there yet, but I strive for that upward call of Christ and of God in Christ Jesus. It's hard work. But Leon Bloy once said, the only real sorrow is that we not become saints. That we not become saints. I don't know about you. I know I'm no saint. I can't do it. I really need the help of as many saints as God can give me. And it's God himself. St. Paul reminds us, you know, he wants us to choose that life-giving call of God, that Christ, of that example of self-giving love. Conversion means coming to love rightly, so as to be able to be a friend of God and neighbor in a new and powerful way. Conversion opens up a new path of love. Christ resurrects us to a whole new way of being in the world. He offers us a chance to reclaim our true selves through his mercy, a long path that will truly make us happy, happy with the beatitude of self-giving love in communion with God. Salvation is essentially becoming of the Christ, folks. We already, right here and now, participate in the resurrected life of Christ. But we need to persevere and keep on struggling, keep on moving forward. And as the body of Christ, you and I, as members of Christ, we're called with Christ to call out people from their tombs, whether they be tombs of addiction, tombs of unforgiveness, tombs of doubt, whatever it may be, to call them out. Honest, God loves you. Trust. Don't be afraid. So come join us. It is in living such a life that Christ is able to raise even our mortal bodies. As Christ himself said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? God love you. God bless you.